And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God. How are you?
Everything is good. Thank God. It's the pledge drive week.
Well, that's great. You know what? I think one of the most important things is that CJAN has the beautiful station of Boker Tov, radio station of program of Boker Tov, and I even listen to when I'm in the car or that, to the music, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know, we have speakers, and we have now for the last 3-4 years Parsha every single week. So I encourage everyone, support whatever you can, even one penny. Well, the pennies don't exist anymore, but even $1 and so on, every penny helps. But give generously. It's only once a year that you're asked, and you'll be able to continue enjoying beautiful Jewish, Yiddish, Hebrew music.
Yeah, and beside Boker Tov, thank you for the compliment. Beside Boker Tov, there are like tons of great shows and great radio shows.
Absolutely. You know, when you support CJAN, you're supporting all these programs that everyone enjoys. You know, you take it for granted. People take for granted. You know, oh, there's the radio stations on the air. What do you mean? It's free. What? I don't pay for anything at all. It's great. People don't realize that it's not. You know, you have to pay for the airways. You have to pay for this. You have to pay for
equipment.
The systems, equipment,
yeah,
computers. So I encourage everyone, call in. You know the numbers. And make a pledge. They're only going to bug you once. Don't worry.
Thank you for the support and the help.
Absolutely.
So, Parshat HaShavua, like every week, even on the pledge drive.
That's right. Without learning Torah, they're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
This week's Torah portion is Vayetze, which talks about how Jacob, our forefather, leaves his hometown of Be'er Sheva and journeys to Haran. And on the way, he encounters, as everyone knows, the place. And he sleeps there, and he has the dream of a ladder connecting heaven and earth, and angels climbing up and down, and so on and so forth. And in the morning, Jacob raises a stone on which he lays his head as an altar and a monument, placing that this will be made the house of God. And obviously, we see as the parsha goes on later, Jacob stays and works with his uncle Laban. Laban agrees to give him his younger daughter Rachel, and then he gets married a couple of weeks later to Leah. And they have children, 12 kids, obviously, which is the 12 tribes. Now, the Torah describes that Rachel, Rachel, as having beautiful features and a beautiful complexion, as Leah, as having tender eyes. And it's very unusual for the Torah to spill ink, illustrating the people or the places mentioned. You know, the Torah would just say, so on and so forth, and that was it. It is also unusual that Leah seemingly publicly disparaged. On principle, the Torah goes out of its way to avoid unnecessary critical descriptions, and yet it openly contrasts Rachel's beauty to Leah's tender eyes. And in light of this principle, the biblical commentator, which is Rashi, the main commentator on the Torah, learns from it that Leah's tender eyes allude to her weeping, to her grave weeping. Her eyes were red and soft from the many tears she shed. She wept in prayer, asking God to shift the course of her destiny, because she had been destined to marry Esau, the wicked brother, and who was coarse and corrupt. And she prayed with wholehearted earnestly that her fate be changed. And Leah's prayer, like a perfectly perfect prayer, reached straight to heaven, and her fate shifts, her fate changes. So, you know, she prays, and she marries Jacob instead of Esau. So the Talmud tells us and displays Leah as the epitome of effective prayer, because the communication with God actually rewrote her life script. Because her identity by the Torah, she was identified with her tears, an expression of fresh enthusiasm and tender sincerity for her compelling prayers. Day in and day out, she lifted her voice to heaven, and her words never became stale from repetition. It was always like new. And later, when Leah was expecting a seventh child, she prayed to God that this is not should not be a baby boy, because she wanted to be able to, have as well a girl. And miraculously, the male fetus in the room flipped gender and became the female baby, which everyone knows is Dina.
Yeah.
And once again, Leah's prayer, like a perfectly poised arrow, reached straight to heaven, and her faith shifted. Now, the great Rebbe and Kabbalist, Reb Shneur Zalman of the Adi, who was the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Kodesh Jewish Law, as well as the Tanya, explains that Leah's soul stemmed from the world of thought, while Rachel's soul was from the world of speech. Leah was introspective, the master of meditation and internal communication, going through the depths of her soul and always emerging, to find newfound appreciation for God. Rachel, on the other hand, was different. She was a communicator, charismatic, appealing to others. She commanded a sphere of influence. And her beautiful complexion alludes to the shining of her countenance. Because if you look, her Hebrew name, Rachel, is the numerical equivalent of the phrase Vayehi Or. And there was light. Both equaling in the numerical value of 238. Now with Rachel, there was light. The environment was illuminated with her presence. And so this explains Jacob's unusually dramatic reaction to Rachel, to Rachel. Moments after seeing her, Jacob kissed Rachel, and he raised his voice and wept. Jacob realized that he was destined to breed a family that would become the chosen nation, the nation that would be a light unto the world. His 12 children would have to uphold the torch of morality and spirituality in the world that didn't really bring this message. And here was Rachel, a character perfectly suited for the job. She was a mother and a groom of a family of effective communicators. So we see from this that Jacob knew and saw that in the time of his galut, he saw Rachel as perfection. But no sooner did his family leave Haran, their personal galut, and travel toward the Holy Land of Israel, did Rachel die. Because her mission was complete. She left Joseph, a son who was inherited her capacity to create a dynamic sphere of influence. You know, Joseph became the advisor to King Pharaoh. And he would lead an entire country towards prosperity. Leah's son, by contrast, spent their time as shepherds, meditating in the pastures as they walked beside their flock. Even in Egypt, they lived in an insulated life in the city of Goshen. But Rachel and Leah mothered the Jewish nation, even though they had different entities. You know, Rachel was the PR department of the Jewish nation. Leah, on the other hand, was more of the element of genuine prayer. But both Rachel and Leah mothered the Jewish nation. Rachel instilled within us the strength to bring out our powerful and far-reaching aura of influence, and Leah gifted us with the strength to tug at our souls, at our soul strings, and talk to God with integrity. So we needed, Jacob realized that Leah and Rachel was so important to him. And that's what he wanted. That's why at the end he married both of them, because he saw the importance of each one of them. Each one had to offer a specific purpose to be able to let us later on in life not only be influential, but also target and bring out the soul-searching prayers that we have to connect with God. And that was the beauty of them. And that was the beauty of the two women. And that's how we have to realize and see what is the beauty of the women in our Jewish life. What role do they play? They play one of the most important roles in the Jewish heritage, in Jewish life. You know, we read every Friday night, Eshet Chayil Mi'imtsa. The woman of valor, the woman of praise, how important the woman is in the Jewish home. And that's what Yaakov saw, and that's what Leah and Rachel were the epitome of that, to be able to instill that in our lives.
That's the best combination of moms.
Absolutely. Of moms. Absolutely. Absolutely beautiful.
Rabbi, the Hanukkah event is almost here.
It's on the way. It's around the corner. You know, this year, every year we do something different, what we can bring back to the community. And this year we're doing the Lights of Warmth, which is we're going to be making a giant sock menorah. And that's going to all going to go to benefit Street Help Unit 7 homeless services. It's going to be Thursday, November 28th in the Devonshire Mall at 4 o'clock. There's going to be donuts and latkes and a special this year, Mosaic foam tile menorah craft for the kids. Anyone that comes is going to enter into a raffle to win a $100 gift card to Target or an iPod Shuffle. And the beauty of this is that it's a community event. It's being sponsored by Congregation Shari Sedek, Shah HaShemayim, Beth El, Windsor Regional Hospital, is a co-sponsor as well as Massey High School. And this year we actually have as well Sarah Lewis, who was the youngest local recipient of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal and the winner of the Me Too Award for Youth Under 12 in Action. This is her passion, to be able to collect socks and try and help the homeless shelter. So please start collecting your socks and mittens, and you can drop them off at the JCC, the Shar, Beth El, or if you don't have time to drop them off, bring them to the mall on the day of the event. We'll put it in the menorah.
Straight to the menorah.
And if you don't have socks, if you don't have time to buy socks, send in a donation, and that will be used to buy the socks. So it's a community event. The whole community is getting involved. I encourage everyone, start collecting socks. We would like to collect a couple of thousands of pairs to enlighten and to warm up the feet of someone that is less fortunate and homeless and give them the gift just before the end of the year that the winter comes, that they know that they, when they go outside, that they won't be cold.
Rabbi, I want to thank you, and we'll talk, God willing, next week before the event.
Absolutely. We still have 2 weeks or so to the event, but start collecting.
2 weeks from now.
And Everyone, don't forget, make your pledge.
Please. Thank you.
All right. Be well. Shabbat shalom. Bye-bye.